Resource Development Act.
You got it right.
Water Resource Development Act.
A is Act, okay.
All right, so we're gonna jump into the action items from the hit and wish list.
Peggy and.
Spencer has provided a recommendation on each. I'm just gonna introduce the item. And if anybody would like to discuss it, they should make a motion to approve, and then we can have discussion.
Where we at?
We're on, starting the hit and wish list.
So back to the original memo.
Spencer's memo, big page four is what I see on what I printed, but.
And if you're online, it's a.
PDF.
Yep, city manager report, so.
Okay, so item number one, sounds like we got no choice kind of item. So I would entertain, it's the increase unemployment insurance expense due to new rates. So somebody would like to make a motion to modify the budget?
I recommend that $167,000 in additional funding be appropriated to meet the city's anticipated unemployment tax cost for the next fiscal year.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any would need further explanation or any discussion on that item?
Do we know if that UI increase is based on experience related to the city itself? Or is it just a statewide increase in UI need because, for instance, COVID?
Yeah, no, this is city experience, and it was because of the layoffs that we had for the city during COVID, as well as when you don't get paid.
Unemployment.
Not unemployment.
Furlough.
Thank you for the words.
So the time for this to continue, is it this year, next year, 5 years?
Yeah, typically it's a rolling period. I don't know how long.
They look at 3 years and then they take an average.
Okay.
So it'll be in play for probably the next 2 budget years after this.
Okay, we have a motion to increase the expense for unemployment insurance in the sum of, the amount of $167,000. All in favor?
Aye.
Please hold your hand up so that we can get a full count.
Ken, is that the same, right?
Ryan is.
Ryan Oates.
Okay, Eric is taking a count, and Steve is taking a count. Is that correct? Every time?
So you're an A on this, the unemployment insurance?
No, aye.
Yes, okay, so 11 to zero.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, the next one is the funding of a school resource officer. And Spencer, do you want to talk about your recommendation?
Yeah, the, my recommendation is that we put this in the budget. There are some challenges in actually filling this position that we are gonna have to overcome. And primarily with the staffing and with the folks that we currently have in getting their police certification, there are, it's going to be a while before we would be in a position to actually have a person in this capacity. But my recommendation is that we plug it into the budget, which would be $119,000 in additional expenses, offset by $90,000 in revenues, which would be the school's portion of the officer. And we'll see what we can do with that. And I don't know, Jason, if you want to elaborate any further on.
Nope. I think you covered it pretty well in your report, unless any of the members have any questions.
Of course.
Yes, Sam.
What happens in the summer? What does the school resource officer do in the summer?
They do regular patrol.
Thanks, that's all.
Okay, and I was wondering whether it might be worthwhile to budget this at 50%, since there's virtually no chance of this person coming on this calendar year. I'd be curious what Jason thinks about that.
Lieutenant Keener and I actually talked about this. We have a board where we're keeping track of current employees, current vacancies, and it's getting hard to follow. The best that, we have a trigger point that once our staffing gets to a certain point, then we'll be able to assign collateral duties, whether that's school resource officer, detective, whatever the direction that we're given, we go with. We are about two officers hired, we were about two officers away that we need to hire still, and also train. And so keep in mind, we have the potential of a possible lateral officer, which will speed the process up a little bit. But the other is, our best estimate we have right now is going to be towards the end of this next school year. So May to June is a possible prediction, but we're being a little bit more conservative and looking at September 23.
September 23.
Which would not be involved in this.
Which wouldn't be in this budget at all.
Right.
But would you prefer that we budget, I mean, the difference between those two numbers is,
yeah,
in the overall scheme of things, not a lot of money.
No, and to my general feeling on positions, I hate to budget part-time or a half-year position because it really screws up your comparisons when you're going forward.
Yes.
So we're really talking 29,000, we're not talking 19,000.
Right.
So my recommendation would be also, like you, Spencer, to put it in the budget. If we don't spend it, we don't spend it.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll move
to second that.
Okay. Any more discussion on this? We're going to put it in the budget, but there's fairly low probability that it will actually happen. Okay, all in favor of that? Okay.
11.
No, it's
12. Beatrice is.
Beatrice came.
Oh, there you are.
That's right.
Okay, we got the numbers. Any opposed?
Got everybody.
Any abstention?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. Okay. Growing committee leadership. There's a negative recommendation on this one, but Peggy, could you talk to us about the concept there and what kinds of things might be possible under that topic?
Well, of course I would defer to Spencer's recommendation, but we did gather some information from the city of Hillsborough because that's where we thought we heard that they had a good program going, and that information is included in the packet. The city of Hillsborough contracts with Portland State University, and they put together their program, which is apparently quite successful. But it would be certainly nothing that could probably happen in the next fiscal year, only because of the logistics of putting a program like that together.
And just a little further on that issue, we're going through a huge transition with Peggy leaving, Eric coming in. There's just, I think we can discuss how we might structure something, but this would be a very difficult year to try to implement something that takes a lot of energy and time.
Sam?
I don't want it lost, but I also recognize the timing isn't ideal right now. So whatever we can do to say, like, right, maybe not fund it now, but can we revisit this? And will we all remember this next year at this time?
Yeah, and one thing I didn't mention earlier that the budget committee has typically done is they've outlined a list of things for the council to take a look at during the course of the year. And if someone wants to make a recommendation to add that to the list, then we would schedule a budget work session at some point during the year to bring this back to the council for discussion.
I'm confused, Spencer, because you recommend that it be that the funds, you recommend that 25,000 be appropriated for this purpose.
No, we skipped one.
Not on this one. I missed one. We're going to go back to that.
Well, you missed one, no.
Yeah, we're on number 8.
You're on number 8 already? Oh, I thought we were on number
1. Sorry. Anybody would like to make a motion to modify the budget with respect to this item?
When would be the time to do that?
now to do, ask for a report during the course of the year, or a work session on it during the course of the year.
Yeah, so I move what he said.
Okay, so the motion is to recommend the city council to pursue this item for possible inclusion in the next fiscal year. Is there a second for that?
A second.
Second.
All in favor? Okay, any opposed? One opposed. Oh, two, I'm sorry.
I was four. I didn't put my hand down.
But there were one opposed.
Oh, okay, one opposed then.
Who was opposed?
Throw the one out.
Hmm?
Throw the one out.
Why? Well, we'd like to, but, you know, it's hard when you get, somebody gets elected. Okay, I'm sorry, apologize. We're going back to number seven. Recruiting marketing materials. Proposal is to add $25,000, for employment-related marketing materials. Is there a motion to proceed with a discussion on this?
I'll move to for that to be included for discussion purposes.
Okay, moved by Dietmar.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
And Beatrice seconds. Okay.
Who's going to do that, Spencer? What we would do, and we've had some preliminary discussions about utilizing the firm that does work for the city right now, through Destination Newport, to do part of a video that could be part of working at the city of Newport, and take a look at our website and you know, trying to address.
I'm wondering because the employment section, because the people that are doing are working with the chamber on getting their system up to speed, you know, on the presentation they made, I was really impressed with that.
That's who we would, that's
that,
who we
is
would,
that who you
like
would use?
Use.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
I just want to say the marketing, I think, is a good way to move, you know, to contract people, because if we are not, you know, getting the pool that we wish, you know, to have, I think it's important to have, you know, those marketing, you know, advertising for all the departments, you know, anything that comes open. I think also, you know, every website is important to have that information available. There's an opening for certain departments, so people can, you know, even if they go in different departments, they can see that.
I think it's definitely something overdue, so.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor? Hand up. Any opposed? Thank you, passed. Moving on, to funding a detective for the drug team. Similar to the SRO, actually.
What happened to number nine?
What? We did number nine already. There's any number nine. That's a response item, that's not an action item.
We're going through the action items.
We're only doing the action items now, and you're trying to get me all flustered. All right.
He's just keeping you honest.
So, dedicated detective for the drug team. Recommendation is not to fund this position at this time. Would anybody like to make a motion so we can discuss it further?
I'd like to speak a little bit about that as far as the recommendation.
Okay.
So again, we do have one additional position, and now we've added a school resource officer as well. So those are two additional positions to the police department. If we ever get up to staffing, and if they can pull the drug team together, you know, if we got full staffing, we'd be able to designate one of those positions for that purpose. Where it's going to be difficult for us to get to that point, but that was the basis for the recommendation.
You know, Spencer, I'd like to really keep this open item open. When the judge came to council and talked to us, I was really amazed at what the fentanyl problem is in our community and Lincoln County. And I think we need something like this within the county, and I don't know what city is going to start it, but maybe Newport needs to be the leader on this.
Yeah, I'll turn it over to the chief to it's gonna be a very similar story to what you heard on the SRO, I think, but.
The position we're in is, you know, we fully support, like a lot of you, we fully support being able to put any resource we could or can towards drug enforcement, specifically right now with the opioid crisis that's occurring and we're not immune to. Again, it comes down to staffing. We have, because with the positions we're given is we're back to, on paper, where we were pre-COVID, I think actually plus one. And we were able to, when fully staffed, we had a member on the on a countywide team, and it was the old LIM model that we made it a street crimes unit. They responded to not just drugs, but also property things because of the nexus there. So this is a goal of ours, when staffing allows. And, you know, as much as I love it when you guys are like, let's give the police department more money, this is one of those positions that we have funded, and it is a goal for us to fund as we have the staffing allowed.
So when do you think you'll be at full staff?
Well, you know, assuming nobody else leaves, nobody else changes careers, there's no other retirements, there's so many variables right now in law enforcement where younger officers are getting out of law enforcement for a variety of reasons. You know, if nothing changes, we're still a couple of years away. So, you know, if we're looking at September 23 for an SRO, we could be the following year to be able to dedicate a resource to a drug unit.
When did you say you could do that?
Possibly in 2024. This has been a big discussion with the chiefs and the sheriffs at our admin meetings monthly. We all support this. We're just all in the same position. We just don't have the staffing. You know, we're willing to work out all the details, the administration, the supervision, the funding. You know, there's a lot of resources we can tap into for that, but we still need the bodies before we can make it happen.
So in your mind, the SRO is more important than this position?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. When you say more important, I guess one of the things that we really drive on our goals are what are council goals, and that our city council's goal was to staff an SRO. That makes it our priority also. And for us to identify a goal or to try to get out of a council goal or override is quite a big effort that we would work with Spencer on and discuss with the council, and we haven't done that, and we don't intend to.
All right, would anybody like to make a motion to fund this position first? Yes, Dean.
I'd like to make the motion to fund the detective position. And I know it'll surprise a lot of people. I'm gonna be pushing for this from now until we get it. About 5 years ago, I pushed for a detective sergeant position. The budget committee approved it. It was never hired. It never went anywhere, unfortunately. And it wasn't because of hiring or anything, it just never got.
Hold that discussion for a second. Oh, okay. Chief, we have a second. Does anybody want a second? All right, go ahead, Dean. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'm sorry I was out of order. I apologize.
Watch it.
Last year in our country, there was 107,000 people died in our country due to fentanyl overdose, which was huge. It's just exploding. It's exploding here locally. And, you know, we can keep putting this position off. And I understand Jason's views. I understand the hardness of hiring. I do know of a young man that is currently working as a lineman that would probably be a wonderful candidate for the police department. So, but anyway, having said that, the fentanyl is going to get worse. If you saw the news today, there was a tunnel between Tijuana and San Diego that they have been just shoving drugs through like crazy under the border. And we all know they come in daily. And, you know, until we start doing something on it, it's not going to go, it's going to get worse. And I'm just a huge proponent of it, and I think we need to start working on it when we can. And I know that Jason does a good job on finding people. I'm very confident that he can get his staff up sooner than he thinks. But anyway, that's all I have to say.
CM, did you have your hand up on this topic?
Yes. My question is to Dean. So what the chief said was, realistically, this year, it doesn't, I want to make sure I'm looking at him, that I'm tracking this right, that it wouldn't be able to, we just couldn't find the person, right?
Correct.
But you want to propose it this year, even though we wouldn't have a person.
I'm optimistic that things will change for hiring this next year. I'm optimistic that Jason can do a good job on getting qualified candidates. But it's just the bottom line is if we do nothing, the problem gets worse. And then when next year, if we were able to hire somebody, like he says, 2024, that's 2 years down the road. And that's 2 years more problems, 2 years of more people dying in our community. And I just hate seeing that.
I agree with that, Dina. And like CM, I think if we do nothing, if we don't put something in the budget, we'll do nothing, you know. At least if we put something in the budget, if we have that opportunity to do something, then we can do it. But if we don't ever budget it, we will do nothing. And the drug issues will become worse and worse.
But I also understand what Jason was talking about was the other agencies. They have to be involved too. This cannot be a one-person job. You have to have a minimum of three, actually four. I'd like to get the state police. I've talked to David Gauber about finding funding in the next legislative session to bring back the state police into the drug team. Years ago, they had it, and they pulled it when the team kind of dissolved. But I really think that it has to be a coordinated effect. We have to have bodies from all agencies to be doing this job. And I understand each agency has the same hiring problems that Jason does. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't have an issue with funding it. It doesn't seem like realistically it makes sense to put it in this year. But 2023-24 would make sense. I'm just trying to go with what he said.
And I understand what he's saying. But again, I'm optimistic that he can find people. But I just feel that if Jason is able to hire people this year, I want to give him the tool to get the extra position.
I agree with that.
Does that make sense?
If we don't find
Yes, but then it wouldn't be this full amount, very likely. Right? It could be a fraction of this amount.
No, if we don't spend it, we don't spend it.
Right.
It's the same as the SRO officer.
Right, exactly.
Ryan?
Jason, is the DEA working with local jurisdictions specific fentanyl investigations where they could provide potential laterals or like a workout of class or some sort of federal partnership to get that drug team going again?
So the DEA,
has that been discussed?
The DEA works with us, like all federal agencies, ultimately as a partner. When we have a specific case and need the resource, we put in the request for help. That's all we can really do. All the federal agencies are like that. And so I'm not aware of anybody that we could call and, and ask for actual personnel or other resources like that besides an occasional assist for a specific, like in this case, drug-related investigation.
But the DEA does work directly with drug teams on a regular basis when they're established.
I just kind of feel like the fentanyl thing is a federal responsibility, and I see how it trickles down to the local level, but if the chief is saying he can't find anybody, I'm in favor of funding it, but just as a placeholder.
Yeah, can we fund? I think John, you're next. Do you have your hand up?
Yes, I'm listening, and it seems like putting it in doesn't spend money that we. It creates the opportunity whether we use it, whether we're able to hire or not. So I support putting it in because the worst thing that happens is we don't spend the money actually.
Yeah, can we apply a fund or propose funding for like education or don't use drugs programs or something that it could be leveraged towards promoting rec center activities, these kind of things, instead of just letting it sit there and put it to use kind of proposal.
It could be an alternate use that could be proposed.
Beatrice?
I just have a question for Chief Malloy. How many positions do you have open right now? If you said it before, I didn't hear because I just got here.
We currently have four with this budget here. We have a new officer starting next Monday, and then we have another conditional job offer on somebody going through the process, and then we have a lateral coming in through our process at the end of the month. And so, you know, I guess if it's okay, Mr. Chair, if I could respond to something Mayor Sawyer said. He, you know, his optimism, we're in the same boat. We try to be super optimistic and our hiring ebbs and flows. We can go months without an application or somebody that we can get through step one. And then all of a sudden we get three or four really good ones. And, you know, while we used to have 200 and 300 applicants, we know that doesn't happen anymore. But when we get one or two quality, really good ones, we get pretty excited. And we've had that opportunity over the last couple months to be able to do that. And I'm optimistic. I mean, we're putting in a lot of effort, a lot of time and a lot of money into recruiting and doing just what can we do that one thing better than the other agency. And again, it ebbs and flows. And so there's a possibility we hire four people in the next 2 months, and there's a possibility we hire zero. We just don't know until we go through it.
Any other discussion on this specific proposal? Okay, let's take a vote to include the $144,230 in general fund expenses to support a detective or a drug team. All in favor? I got six. All opposed? Somebody abstained?
Brian.
CM abstained. So 6-5 with one abstention, the motion passes.
Does it pass 6-5 with one abstention?
Okay, then. I think that is essentially, I wish David was here, a tie.
No, it can't be a tie if you got one abstention.
Well, it's 6-5 is what it is.
So, yeah, so I'd say it would pass.
Yeah, it would pass.
6-5.
Six in favor, 5 opposed, and 1 abstention.
That passes.
I think it does.
That's 50 plus 1, right?
Okay. Did anybody want to pursue an additional item? Well, we'll get to that later, but we may want to think about an additional item for the kinds of things that were suggested. Separate from personnel. All right, item number 11. Hire a third CSO to work short-term rentals in the busy season and work with businesses to keep tidy. The proposal is for $115,431 in the general fund. And Spencer recommends we do not fund that. Spencer, you want to elaborate?
I think in discussing this with the chief, at this point, we just don't believe there's enough additional work to basically justify a full-time position for the items that are here. We don't have, if we implemented a building maintenance code as an example, that would probably justify the additional work, but do you want to elaborate a little further on that, Jason?
No, again, we love it when the budget committee says, here you go, take some more money. This is a hard one for us to justify. It would be ebbs and flows again, and I don't think that there is enough work. There's definitely not enough short-term rental work to justify a second one. It's one of these positions that, you know, we can utilize because we're always trying to figure out how can we free up officer time by trying to use non-sworn personnel and things like that. There's certain things that they can do. I really think there's enough work for 25 to 50% of the position, but not a full 100% position.
CM?
We're just looking for more opportunities to highlight MVPs in the Loyalty Days Parade, really. I do think that this doesn't have to be a full person, but I think why this came up, and I know Councilor Jacoby isn't here tonight, so I'm bringing this up on her behalf, but I think it's more about duties and responsibilities that maybe could be folded into what the CSOs do now, but more was the idea was about beautification of businesses and keeping them nice and keeping the trash picked up around the businesses and such. And we noticed this was modeled very well in Hermiston. So, and I'm definitely more in favor of more of that community service officer type person. But if it doesn't seem like it makes good sense, then can't we just incorporate more of what this was meant to do into the current CSO's position description?
I think the other thing that Councilor Jacoby was interested in is trying to provide some weekend coverage. And you know, whether that could be done on a part-time basis with someone or not, I don't know. But that was, I think, one of her concerns.
That was my concern when I read this, is the complaints, and I regularly file complaints, are almost always on a weekend.
Yep.
And I never hear from the CSO until Monday or Tuesday doing his follow-up. But there's no substitute for when a complaint comes in, driving over and taking a look. And by Monday morning, they're all gone. And there's basically no evidence except for what I submitted in writing. I would love to see some weekend coverage if there's some way to work that. Potentially maybe a halftime person, or I don't know what. Chief, your thoughts on weekend coverage?
I fully support weekend coverage. The only thing that we're kind of hampered by a little bit right now is a collective bargaining agreement that doesn't allow for weekend coverage for those two positions, so that would be something that we have to negotiate. If this was hired, and whether it was a halftime, quarter-time, full-time, it's something that upon hiring in the job description and negotiations with the union or our police association, they could be worked out. We have a good working relationship with our association, so I'm confident in that. We just don't have that off-town position. You don't know, it's one of these things that our CSOs spend a lot of time on nuisance abatement. And that's, you know, when Councilor Hall talks about beautification, that's what we're trying to do. And it is a very long and lengthy process. And we have tons and tons and tons of active investigations and cases with that. Our short-term rental CSO also assists with that, because his, over the last couple of years, the short-term rental duties or requirements aren't as much as they were when we first started, because we have a pretty good compliance rate. Besides, you know, Mr. Berman talked about the occasional complaints and the things on the weekends. So those are following up. So could we use a halftime? Yes. If it was a full-time, they would not do short-term rental enforcement, maybe a portion of it, but most of their time would probably still be spent, minus weekends, to nuisance abatements.
Would anybody like to make a motion with respect to item number 11?
I guess an alternative would be a part-time position for weekend coverage, which we'd have to work the details out, you know, that may make more sense.
Well, first, anybody make a motion for the item number 11 as written?
Bob.
Yes, Steve.
I'd like to make a motion to hire a part-time CSO to the tune of $65,000.
Okay.
Second.
We were getting there, but that's fine. We got a motion and a second to hire a halftime person at roughly half the amount that's listed here.
Including Saturday, Sunday coverage.
Definitely. Yeah, that person would work weekends, period.
What was the amount again?
I just cut it in half at about $65,000.
Okay, but you can't just cut it in half, because we still got to have a vehicle.
Yeah, we'll recalculate it based on the hours.
Because it wouldn't include benefits.
Right.
Would that be 2 days a week?
And it could be a Saturday, Sunday position.
And I have a quick question for Jason. Could that be subcontracted out to one of the security companies?
I'm not excited about that.
I wouldn't support the motion if that's the detail.
And when you talk about hours, it is really difficult to find somebody willing to work 16 hours a week. Generally, our part-time positions, I think, with the city are 19 hours a week or under 20, which keeps it, we don't have to make it a bargain position then if it is a part-time position. The other thing with that is, you know, one of the things we're always looking at is parking. I know it's been a big point of contention is, you know, could a position something like this do part-time parking, part-time CSO, kind of be that jack-of-all-trades of non-sworn positions? I know that Derek does have a parking plan, and there is times when a parking person is coming into the budget. I'm just not sure when that is.
Could this position use the same vehicle as the present position?
Yeah, it's weekends, I don't know why not, so.
Probably. Yeah, we can make that, it just, driving a car 7 days a week shortens its lifespan by a lot. But that's one of those things we worry about in a couple of years.
It's a discussion we have oftentimes, so. But I think we've got direction on it. If you're, we'll work out the details based on whether you met the path.
Any other comments? We have a motion and a second.
I have one question. We're all talking a lot about short-term rental compliance. What's the total revenue benefit to the general fund from short-term rentals? I mean, is policing this eating up almost all the revenue that it generates?
We get revenue from several sources for short-term rentals. One is through the room tax. Secondly is through the registration, the business license, and then the surcharge that's attached. And I don't recall the numbers offhand, but when we established the surcharge, it was covering, the surcharge was covering, if I recall correctly, the enforcement activities, if I am recalling this correctly.
Project revenue portion of that issue, if I recall.
Right. Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers for you, but I do know that when we were looking at the model, we established funds to kind of cover those.
Well, the second part of my question would be, if we're looking at additional enforcement personnel, regardless of whether it's a full or part-time position, wouldn't you need a revenue source by enhancing the short-term rental rates in some ways to go ahead and cover that expense rather than pull it straight out of the general fund?
That's an option that could be incorporated in the motion.
Did you make the motion?
Yes.
Okay. You accept that modification?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, TRT funds should pay for compliance enforcement.
So there's a second. You're accepting that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, it's not the TRT funds. It would be basically the endorsement funds, I think, is what was that what you were referring to?
I'm afraid I'm not educated enough on the revenue sources to
would have to
I'm
be.
Just raising the issue that it seems like you ought to pay for it by the people that are being enforced.
Now, we just did last year a pretty massive increase to pay for the lodging reps contract.
Yeah, you know,
so
having
this
said
involves
that,
another increase in that fee, that may be a little hard to swallow for some of the, for most of the short-term rental people that are in full compliance and never have a complaint. They're going to end up essentially being penalized because of the few people that need additional enforcement. So I'm not convinced that fee needs to be increased this year.
Can we use a room tax for that? I mean, that should be available.
Yeah, basically, the question is, do we have added revenues from what we would gain normally? I think was what you're raising to cover that difference, and so where they would come from, we'd have to take a look at where we might be able to do that, which we aren't going to be able to answer here tonight. So,
Dean?
To answer part of your question, I think that the city's goal is for compliance, not fining people. So when the CSO goes out, their first thing is to try to get a compliance from the parties. They do that, they're done. Obviously, the ones that they ultimately get to fine are the jerks and the people that won't go with the program.
Which, getting to Spencer's point, would be the right person to bill for this.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I don't know.
Which you may have trouble collecting.
Yeah, but I don't think that the fine collection would be huge to pay for the job, per se. I don't know.
Citations can be issued.
Right.
And sometimes they actually even get paid. Question?
Just a comment. I went to the short-term rental committee meeting, I guess it was last week, and I asked the question, where do most of the complaints come from? Are they the homes that are managed by professional management companies, or are they owner-operators? And the answer was largely owner-operators, because they're not available at 2 o'clock in the morning when somebody calls the hotline to complain about something. So I don't know if it's fair to add another charge for the people that are having their processes or their obey, you know, the rules and regulations and have professional management. There's just got to be another way around it. So I would be against this.
Against the extra fee. Okay, should we break the motion into two parts?
Sure. Jim? Does the motion include the extra fee?
I'm sorry?
Does the motion right now include the extra fee?
It does, but I think we're going to start over. And just do a motion on hiring a half-time CSO to work primarily on weekends for short-term rental and other nuisance abatement.
Is that your motion, Dean?
Yes.
So Dean has accepted that. Do you accept that modification?
Okay. I think the way you phrase that is nuisance abatement is broad. I would support that.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion on just that part of it? Okay, all in favor? Okay, any opposed? Motion passes. Now, Dean, would you like to make a second motion about funding?
Yeah, the second would be that if the CSO issues citation, that funding would go directly to their salary. I understand what Steve is talking about, not raising fees to the short-term rental, because we already have, I believe we already have fairly significant fees on that anyway. But I think that if there were fines generated, that they would go back into that position.
I'm not sure how fines are normally treated.
I don't know if you can account for it, though, Dean.
It doesn't work that way because they're all funded out of the positions funded out of the general fund. The fines go into the general fund. So indirectly, you know, we don't have a designated cost for that. And I don't think we're going to resolve this piece.
Yeah.
I think it may be something that might be a recommendation.
I think I'd like to retract my motion on the second piece. And then we can work that out.
Do you want to make a motion to refer that to the city council for future discussion?
That's perfect. So, perfect.
Well, they're always up for a challenge.
Does anybody second Dean's motion to have a future discussion at the city council on this topic?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
That's a recommendation to city council, right?
Right.
Not a command.
Okay, moving right along. Number 13, the funding of a climate action plan. Spencer has a positive recommendation on this. Anybody would like to make a motion?
I'd like to comment on this.
Okay, we got to make a motion first. All right.
I'll recommend that $50,000 be appropriated from the general fund to facilitate a City of Newport climate action plan.
Second.
And Beatrice seconds. Okay, Ryan?
I don't know that we need 50. There's a lot of, boilerplate. Small city plans already legally in force. We can leave that as a placeholder, but I don't want to give $50,000 to some out-of-state consultants. That's not the spirit of what we need to do. This needs to be a grassroots effort that has hard conversations and productive conversations with people that live here in the city and finding consensus on what that plan should be needs to be a community effort. And that's why I would support it, not to give it to put it out for an RFP for the usual suspects. I don't think that's going to get us something that's actually beneficial. And above that, I've seen a lot of these plans at the state level either too broad, too general, or there isn't real spirit behind it. It's just more like checking a box. So I don't want to do this unless the staff is actually behind it, because otherwise it won't produce anything.
Spencer?
I think the issue of, the boilerplate policy we could put into place, but that's not necessarily going to be a Newport policy. And I think in order to get the public engagement that you want, it's going to take time of someone facilitating those discussions to come up with a Newport climate action plan. So
Peggy Hawker, Special Projects Manager.
So I think in order to have truly an engaged process, it's gonna take some resources to make that happen.
Okay, well, then that begs the question, where do those resources come from, given the house?
For example, the TSP got like a couple hundred comments, and that's a huge thing, but I know there were efforts to get more involvement, but what I'm saying is, this is something that affects everybody, regardless of whether you like those bird scooters. And I would caution people that would be in favor of doing this, that it can't just be the council doing it, it can't just be staff, it really has to be, I mean, we're gonna have to go out there and lasso some people to actually be involved. And usually people don't wanna help the city unless they're torqued off about something. So that's, I'm just trying to set the expectation of what this actually means. It doesn't mean anything if we're not willing to do it. So I don't wanna waste everyone's time.
Where would this project live and who would take the lead on it?
Carol has her hand up.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I was gonna agree with Ryan and say that in addition to community involvement, you need the major institutions and also overlapping governmental jurisdictions. And so, although I agree you wouldn't want someone who's maybe from out of state or doing something superficial, I do think that it's possible that you could spend $50,000 because of the amount of work that is involved in doing something that's actually meaningful. So,
No, I agree. And then the other issue is we have to write a city climate action plan that the state won't preempt,
right,
which is a reality we have to acknowledge.
Okay. So I was inquiring as to where this would be staffed and what department.
Yeah, at this point, you know, we don't know if we're gonna do this project because
right,
we don't know if it's gonna be funded. I think from the standpoint of how we would house this project, it's a discussion that we would have if there's funding in place about where we could get it done during this next course of the year. And that could be out of my office we've already assigned a number of things to Eric. He's gotta learn what Peggy does yet, we'll have to work out exactly how we would staff that going forward. And until we have a staffing process that the council's comfortable with to give the support it needs to make it a meaningful process, we wouldn't want to go ahead with it until we have that in place. So we don't have that all figured out, so at this point.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Ryan on this. And one of the things for me is like when you hire a consultant, you don't develop any equity. They come in, they could do a good process, they write a report, and they're gone. And we're talking about something, to me it's more important, the plan you're probably on a download from someplace. But it's really implementing it. It's getting people engaged, and you've got to have a person that's recognizable, that has worked with, that works there, you know, that generates interest. And it could be within Spencer's office, could be within the Vision 2040. It feels to me that sometimes we put a plan together, but it's just a plan unless there's people engaged.
I think the 2040 vision model is really something that had a lot of engagement. Fortunately, we didn't have COVID when we put that together, which made life a lot easier. I think we're back to those situations, and I think there's a lot of people that want to be engaged with this discussion, institutions that need to be engaged in this discussion, and that's all going to take time, and it's going to take someone facilitating that process. But I think the key is on what type of facilitator we would get for that process. And again, if it's funded, it's something we'll work on. If it's not funded, obviously we've got plenty of other things to work on.
There's already council goals that are biting around the edges from the last 3 years that haven't been implemented that would certainly be a portion of a climate action plan.
Right.
So do we focus on the things we've already approved? I would say yes.
Yeah, I think definitely. And that's one of the reasons I'm supporting this, is because we haven't been able to make progress on some of those things that we want to make some progress on. So,
well, let's do a vote.
Any other discussions on the motion? Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? Passes.
I abstained.
Oh, and one abstention, I'm sorry, I didn't see you over there.
No problem, no problem.
All right. Okay, next one is to add an additional planner within the Community Development Department. Spencer is suggesting an alternative of allocating $50,000 for contracted professional services. Spencer, you want to talk about that a little bit?
I talked to Derek a little bit about that as well. We do have a vacant funded position that we have to fill in community development. And one of the alternatives that we talked about for this year is providing some additional contracted services to help facilitate some of the things that we're working on. And so that was the basis for my recommendation. But Derek, you may want to speak to that a little further.
Sure. With respect to the positional filling, that's a permit tax position. That's 75% building fund, only 25%.
Excuse me. So that's going to the permit tax is going to spend more time on the building fund side of things than planning. But the permit tech position would be available to assist with staffing, outreach meetings, things of that nature, answering basic questions at the planning counter, that kind of thing. There with contract funds, we'd be able to kind of target those to specific projects. There are folks out there that are qualified planners that are willing to do work on a part-time basis. Provide contract services to a number of different jurisdictions. So it would be a way to move the dial on a project or two without going to a full-time position. I tried to be clear in my response, an additional planning position would be welcome if the funding is available to support it on a sustainable basis. And I have concerns about that. I want to make sure that, we operate lean, but we operate within the available budgeted funds. And so kind of that's kind of my perspective on it. If these funds are authorized, we certainly would look to target them strategically to the projects we have in the queue that are already a council and planning commission priority. And I outlined a number of them in my memo.
Would anybody like to make a motion either with respect to hiring an additional CSO or alternatively?
Can I ask something first?
We need a motion to really be able to discuss.
I'd be happy to make a motion, but I wanted to ask Derek something. Mm-hmm. If we make this motion, would you be happy with that part-time position?
We would make good use of the contract services, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So I'll move. Let's see, what does Spencer say here? I move we allocate $50,000 to hire a contract professional service to help in the planning effort in the community development department.
Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, I saw
Steve's hand.
Any discussion on contract planner? Yes.
I wonder, if we just sort of adopted $50,000 towards the climate action plan, and I wonder if we combine that with this and put within your department sort of a community engagement specialist, who was a planning role, but that one of the things from my point of view, sometimes I see is that you do a tremendous amount of work, but reaching out into people, and people get mad about stuff they don't understand, or because it's hard to translate. I've spent a lot of time, you spent a lot of time with me teaching me what you do and how you think about things, but it takes a lot of time. But if there was perhaps someone who could be, whose role was to work into the community on developing an action plan or developing some aspect of some other planning, that, and I don't know if that's a good idea, but that's why I'm asking.
With any one of these, any kind of planning effort, community engagement is an important piece. Now, that's scalable depending upon the nature of the planning project and what you're trying to accomplish. And, some projects, such as Vision 2040, was all about public engagement. Other projects, such as the housing study that we're on right now, more strategic and targeted engagement. And so we want to keep that in mind as we tackle these things. If you look to try to merge funds into a position, again, I would go back to, is this something we can support on a sustainable basis? Because that's very important from my perspective, because these planning initiatives go from plan then to implementation, and that takes time. And to have somebody on staff, once you get invested in training them and to a point where they, you know, they're fully capable of doing all of the tasks, they also have that institutional memory then to be able to, okay, yeah, now I know where that came from through the planning process, and they have a head start on the implementation side. So I would really emphasize the sustainability aspect of it.
Yes.
My only concern about combining that, the climate action plan, into the planning department is that the climate action plan would include all the city's functions and, you know, the utilities and roads and like everything. And I feel like to have a holistic climate action plan, if the expertise that is needed in the community development department might not be broad enough.
And I think Derek really needs a help, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I think he's pretty busy. And
I agree with
trying
that.
Trying to water down the position that really would hamper what we're trying to accomplish.
I'm not sure if my idea is a good one, but I was talking about adding that on, that if we were going to do 50,000 for this and 50,000 for that, make it 100,000 for the position. And that makes it perhaps more sustainable.
Yeah.
But it may be mixing apples and oranges.
To me, the skill sets are very different.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think the skill set for climate action and planning are totally different.
Totally different, yeah.
Just based, and I'm not an expert on this climate action plan, but just by the name of it, it seems like it's like, you know, it's not bacon and eggs. It just doesn't work.
Bacon and eggs.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to allocate $50,000 for contracted professional services. Any more discussion on that? All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you.
Bob, do we need to do the public hearing?
We were supposed to do it at 6, but since it's 6:30, I was going to blow it off till we got done with this. But
got it. Blow off the public. Really a good, yeah.
Well, there. I don't believe anybody is here to testify at a public hearing about state shared use funds. I didn't think so. So if you don't mind, see him.
Okay. You're so on top of it that I thought, what's going on?
Okay, we're on item number 18. I plan to take a break, by the way, at 7 o'clock, wherever we are, and so everybody can get up and stretch their legs, as euphemism goes. Develop permanent homeless shelter, transition housing, adding $200,000 is the proposal to the unspent $200,000 that we allocated last year, which is somewhat of a disappointment to me personally that it wasn't spent.
It's not quite that. It's $200,000 that isn't spent that we're going to carry over into the next fiscal year, right?
Right, yeah.
To imagine the $200,000 in our funds for $400,000.
But the council already talked about this.
What's that?
Didn't we already talk about this?
Yeah, we did. It's in the current budget, but we're working on various proposals on how those funds would be used, and anyway, it's a long story that we can talk about for a long time. But we want to carry those funds over so that they're available in the next fiscal year.
So is that what this item is about?
It's basically,
is to carry over because the ARPA funds are already in here.
Correct. New funds. It's carry over.
It'll have be a total of $400,000.
All right. Do I hear a motion?
I so move.
Okay. He seconds it. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you.
I have a question about the 200. How people can find to apply for those?
Yeah, we're having conversations with Lincoln County. We're having conversations with various, Grace Winds, a couple other organizations as well. And ultimately,
what we hope to have is a specific direction that we may be able to make a significant difference for one aspect of homelessness, or maybe more than, you know. But, you know, 400,000 is good seed money. It's not as much money as it seems like when you're looking at.
I'll take it.
Yeah, well, individually,
yeah. Yeah. The one in deep six of stipend doesn't get to talk about taking money.
But anyway, so we're working basically on some options and some alternatives that we can bring back to the council of a meaningful way to substantively and long-term wise address some aspects of homelessness. And we're working with various folks on some options to bring back to the council for discussion.
As it directly relates to homeless shelter, right? I mean, this is for homeless shelter.
Well, the focus has been kind of on homeless shelter issues. Now we're spending money on Port-a-Johns. We're spending money on the shower facility at Grace Winds. We provided money for winter housing for Grace Winds, during inclement weather. So we've done a number of things through the course of the year to address certain aspects of the kind of the immediate issues with homelessness. The intent of these funds is to address more longer term issues that will have, you know, some sustainability going forward, and finding that right fit is really critical. So
I think the requester was to develop permanent homeless shelter and transition housing.
Yeah,
that's what we're approving this money for.
And that's we're working on a number of options. Okay. And how you define that ultimately is in about a dozen different ways as we're working with different groups. So,
okay, the next item, number 22, increase the budget for pool special events pool fundraiser to $25,000 from the current $10,000. I believe it's $10,000 currently. Would anyone like to make a motion to open this up for discussion by moving that we do that?
We get a report from Mike on this?
Well, we have a report in writing from Mike.
Yeah. So a question specifically for Mike?
Yeah. What would this $25,000 buy us, Mike, that is, you're not providing now?
No, this is increasing revenues.
Yeah. Increased special fund.
Right. So, and why don't you talk a little bit about the challenge that we would have in generating those revenues in this year coming kind of through the cycle that we're coming through?
Yeah, so we've got a couple challenges. The biggest challenge is staffing right now. We have a lifeguard part-time positions that are posted online. I think we are short by 3 lifeguards still. We currently have 2 hours during the middle of the day that the facility is closed to the public, and that's just because of staffing. We just don't have enough bodies. If we were to increase our special event revenue, that means we're doing more special events. We will have to control the ratio of participants or patrons in the pool, and we'd have to cap it because we don't have enough lifeguards. We'd have to shift lifeguards if we wanted to maximize our space in there. And allow the max amount of patrons during a special event, but that's also going to shift the coverage on another day, another time in that facility. So, you know, so that's going to be one challenge. The other challenge is part of the pools are, well, all 3 bodies of our facilities, we have construction issues that we're experiencing. The lap pools is not even, it's slanted. So when we get a large number of people that go in the lap pool, that overflows our pool. So we have pool issues there, and then our activity pool, same, well, it's not, we don't have settling issues, but we do have rebar issues, so at some point in time, those repairs are going to need to be made, and the pool's going to be shut down there. So those are 2 challenges, and then the other reason, like Spencer mentioned in his report, is we do have the business plan coming, and we're looking forward, and that's here in the next month. We're looking forward to the suggestions and recommendations coming from the business plan, also for special events. We do, from a staffing standpoint, my staff knows that they need to do more for events. They have stuff planned. It is on in the calendar for where they want to plug and play events. It's just a matter of, do we have the resources to do the events?
Okay, not hearing a motion on this item, we will move on to the rec center HVAC system. And the recommendation there is, the next page, to consider making this change. So the proposal is to add $12,000 maintenance cost for the HVAC system at the rec center because it's not feasible to replace it, but that would at least help. Anybody like to make that motion?
So my question is, what problem is this solving? What problem is this solving?
Basically, it would be quarterly ventilation maintenance to the system. And Mike, do you want to define what your recommendation was on that?
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with how this was brought forward for air filtration system, but we did have our air, the HVAC system went through some overhaul. I think it was about 4 years ago. We had two of the four units that weren't even operating, and so they're up online now. You know, in regards to air filters themselves, during COVID, the facility maintenance staff went in and they upgraded all of our filters. And so the only thing that we can do now would be a preventative maintenance schedule that we don't have. And talking with facility maintenance, all the other facilities in the city actually have that. And so we won't know if our HVAC system, something went wrong until well after the fact, and half of our building actually patrons are experiencing it. So this $12,000 would be very beneficial.
So this is not so much just filtration, it's also inspecting the HVAC system.
That's correct.
That's preventative maintenance.
Yeah, it's a preventative maintenance issue.
All right, so we're still looking for a motion?
So moved.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any more discussion on this particular item? All in favor? Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. Passed. Item number 25, low-income rate structure for the rec center. I think the recommendation is not to change the rate schedule for the rec center. Spencer or Mike, would you like to comment?
I think the key is we've got the business plan coming. We need to really see what their recommendations are on this. And I know that's an issue that's being addressed in the business plan, I believe.
Yeah, this is one piece that's going to be evaluated and addressed in the business plan.
Okay.
I think once the business plan is available, I'd like to make sure the council brings this up as a discussion item.
Yeah, we've got a work session scheduled for the second meeting in June.
Yeah, June 20th.
Business plan, yeah. So
I know the council can make supplemental appropriations right throughout the year. Can they make changes to the rate schedule at
yes
the same time?
Yeah, fee schedules can be amended by resolution through the course of the year.
Okay.
I think it's important to give that opportunity to some of our people who just can't afford it. Right.
So we have a motion to forward this to City Council to make sure it doesn't fall off the list.
So moved.
Any second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? That motion passes. Item number 26. Add a slurry seal near Northwest 2nd Street near Cafe Mundo.
We're going to slurry seal Cafe Mundo.
Okay. And I'm not... Spencer, do you want to...
Yeah, we took a look at slurry seal, and I think this was Ryan's suggestion on 2nd Street. And the slurry seal is a good fix for roads that are in relatively good condition. This road rates a 31 out of 100, which would typically require would require more than a slurry seal to address the issue. So the recommendation was not to do a slurry seal on it. Something we can look at as a more of a resurfacing type project at some point in the future. If it were in better condition to seal up the cracks to stop moisture from going down.
How does that project get on a list somewhere?
It's from the standpoint of our plan. It's on the, you know, the all our roads are rated now as far as right condition, and one of the things that we'll be putting together is a plan for the resurfacing projects going forward,
And I would say if there's an interest in the budget committee and specifically recommending this be a priority, you could do a motion to that effect to recommend to council.
Not until you do golf course drive, I'm gonna.
Interestingly, northeast, right up here, it's probably gonna score in the 40s, I would imagine.
Right.
But we were gonna do a sewer project in that street, weren't we?
Right.
Is that?
That's still a project that is in the books to be done. It's not funded for this year, but.
Dean?
There's a new project going into Northwest Second Street soon, where they're gonna be building 10 new cottages up there. So I think that we should probably defer that until after the construction. Or at least coordinate with the contractor.
Derek, are there any implications there? If there's new development and the street is in crappy shape, is there anything that can be leveraged?
None of it's a maintenance issue. That's not something we could reasonably put on the developer.
Worth a shot. Okay, would anyone like to make a recommendation concerning Northwest Second Street? Okay. Next one is re-examine a markup on Avgas and Jet A fuel at the airport. Item number 29. There was a separate write-up from Lance that pretty much covered that. Although it never really mentioned, Lance, the actual cost versus price. Do we pay more for these fuels because we're in Newport and not in Corvallis? Or does the aviation community generally pay the same thing?
They all pay roughly the same price from the vendors. There's a few, there's one fuel system in the state of Oregon where all the fuel comes out of. And with jet fuel and Avgas, it just depends on your vendor. We're with Phillips 66 or World Fuel. So they're pretty competitive price-wise with, there's Epic and some other aviation fuels that are out there as well. So I don't really know what they would charge, but they would have to pay the same surcharges out of the fuel tank, or the fuel system, I guess, up there. But we are we do have a contract with them for that fueling stuff, because they helped with our Avgas truck that we got. The World Fuel gave it to us for a buck a year. So they help out with some minor things.
Okay. The only reason I'm asking is because a lot of this was quoted based on averages. And I was just wondering whether our costs, because we're here on the coast, are higher than maybe some of the other people included in the average. You're saying no, in general.
No, the only way that we actually would pay a higher rate is if we're unable to get a full load. For instance, Avgas has a shelf life of 9 months. So if I don't need a full load in 9 months, I have to get a half load. And of course, you're paying a little extra money for that per gallon.
Okay. And you do have a line on here of outside AOA lease, one lease, $79,000. What is that?
So are we going back to question 28 for the rents and leases?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, because that was an information item. But as long as we're on this piece of paper.
Sure. So just currently the airport does hold 50 leases. AOA is the airport operations area, so basically everything inside the fence line. Our areas that are outside the fence line get leased at a market rate, what the fair market value of the property would be. And that $79,000 is for the McWatkins 10 acres that he's leasing.
So that's a prorated amount from the initial $250,000 payment?
Yes.
We recognize a quarter a year in the airport fund, so.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have any kind of motion to make regarding Avgas and Jet A fuel? Item number 31, replace the sign at the PAC with a newer electronic version. cost is additional $15,000 to come from the room tax fund.
About $20,000. You're dropping down to public.
Fiscal impact, $15,000. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. $20,000 to replace those signs. Would anybody like to make a motion to that effect? Dean?
I'd like to make a motion. We spend $20,000 on the PAC sign.
Okay.
Second.
Second.
We all want a second.
All right. I had a real question about that. The existing signs, I believe, were paid for by OCCA. Is that correct?
That's my recollection as well. Yeah, we didn't pay for them.
Why are we now paying to replace the signs that don't work? Why isn't OCCA paying for it? It runs into a little broader question. You know, I had asked at one point, and it's probably an information item, for the relationship, the fiscal relationship between OCCA and the city. And instead, what I got is an annual P&L for OCCA without any reference except for the quarter of their budget that we somehow give them. So my question really is, why are we paying for something that essentially benefits OCCA? And I know we have a close relationship, and I fully support the work that they're doing and the projects. Some of the things are absolutely fabulous, but we don't do that for any other nonprofits.
Yeah, the city, the Performing Arts Center and the Visual Arts Center are both city-owned facilities. Anything that's physically attached is a city asset. The sign is a attached asset to the property, and so that's the basis for participating in this particular project. Now, the OCCA has been very successful at raising funds for a lot of improvements to the city-owned building as well. You know, through that, Phase 7 fundraising and the other things that were done, all those funds. In the previous phases, the majority of those funds were non-city funds. The latest Phase 7, there's $600,000 in city funding, but there's $2.1 million total that have been raised from other sources. So it's really the improvements to that building have really been a partnership between OCCA and the city. All the improvements that are made to the building benefit the city's asset.
Okay. That's an explanation. Yeah. But the question still remains, why did they pay for it last time and we're paying for it this time?
They paid for a lot of things that are city assets now at the Performing Arts Center, including the expansion of the lobby and the restroom improvements. Those were all direct benefits that were paid for by OCCA that benefited the city's asset. So it's a policy decision.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? The $20,000 to replace the signs.
I would just comment, let's make sure the spec is vandalism resistant. But get that in there.
Good point.
Yeah, and I think what would happen.
Rash of vandalism going around town on signs and TV screens.
So we don't see some weird language on the sign.
Yeah, I think the issue too on this is that, again, this would be provided upon some sort of proposal from OCCA that we would agree with as far as the type of sign and that sort of thing. So, and any additional expenses above what we would appropriate, OCCA would be responsible
for. Contract review board agenda item.
Right, so.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Yeah.
I would just comment that that's a very iconic spot for the neighborhood and I think for the city, because it's at a very strategic intersection, and in terms of what the commitment that we're trying to make towards public art and even that sort of beautification, that having a classy presentation of the city and the PAC is very important, I think.
Anything else? All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, moving right along to the potholder machine.
Hold it, you skipped one.
Oh, I did?
Again.
Wow. Boy, I was just seeing if you were paying attention.
Yeah, I know.
All right, an additional $15,000 added to the public art budget, raising it from 35,000 to 50,000. Would anybody like to make a motion to that effect?
Yeah, just on the clarification of that, it's already 50,000.
That's going to make it 65.
Yeah, so that would raise it to 65,000.
What's this 35? Oh, that's last year.
I thought that was 35.
Already raised.
It was 35. I proposed 50,000 in the budget. The request was to add another 15,000, which would bring it up to 65,000.
Because I thought that it was 35 and the 15 would raise it to 50.
The way the proposed budget is, it will be 50.
Yeah, the 35 was this year's budget, not next year's.
Well, that's.
I think you're covered.
Yeah, different.
But D-Mar. D-Mar.
If you want to do another 15, I'd be happy for it. That'd increase it to 65.
Okay, and this money would all come from the room tax fund, but.
D-Mar's wrong with 65.
That's wrong with 65.
I'm not wrong with 65. I will move on this just for discussion purposes to allow for a $15,000 increase.
Okay, any second on that? I will second it. Am I allowed?
Sure.
Chair?
Yep.
Okay, I will second that. Discussion?
So one of the reasons I'm always running around trying to get more money out of Spencer for the public art is because public art's getting more expensive. And now that South Beach is been improved, I mean, there's a centerpiece, I think, that Public Arts Committee's been talking about that's going to cost quite a bit of money.
Yeah, that's going to be paid through urban renewal.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Will that be funded through urban renewal?
Correct.
That's right.
Urban renewal project.
And so, but on top of that, our murals are needing upgrading, and I'd like to see more murals in the community and more art in general. So that's one of my pet peeves is to kind of increase that budget every year. So 65 wouldn't be bad with Peggy.
I have a question. That money goes also to the art bus, like an art.
The art bus?
The art bus?
No, the art bus is different. That's part of the OCCA money. Yeah, that's a totally different program. This is all this money has run through the Public Arts Committee. Maybe Peggy can speak to that a little bit, yeah.
Well, one of the reasons, and I apologize too, because I didn't realize it was already 50, but, and I think honestly, we'll live with 50 because I can see the writing on the wall, but the Public Arts Committee has done a lot over the past 4 or 5 years in terms of adding public art here in Newport, not just murals, but also sculptures, but there's also the issue of maintenance, which has become a big deal lately.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you have noticed, but the ambassador is gone from Don and Davis Park.
That cost us what, about $5,000 to repair that?
Well,
oh, yes.
It's not fixable. But
not fixable?
Yes, it cost about $5,000 to figure it out. The thing was falling apart. It was creating a liability for the city. And it was unknown until we took it down, took it apart, that it really couldn't be repaired. It was filled up with water rusting from the inside and the outside. And so the person was trying to fabricate all the parts, and it's just not possible.
So we need to replace that piece. That's $65,000.
Well, it's way more than that. We need a percent for the arts project.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that was an iconic piece. I'd like to see that go back up again, you know.
One of the things that happened, D-Mar, I think you might have missed the meeting, but Frank Geltner came, and he was instrumental in making sure that the ambassador was placed there. He worked with Sam Briseno and the glass artist Teresa Kowalski to get that located there. There was never any arrangement with the city. It's one of those pieces of art that just showed up.
That appeared in late at night, huh?
Yeah. And so, but anyway, it's a great piece.
But it turned out to be a very iconic piece. So.
It's a great piece and it's iconic, but one of the things that Frank said is you can make a new ambassador. It doesn't need to look exactly like the old one.
But I think.
You know, why don't you put out an RFP and see what happens?
Okay. You need 65 for that, though, right?
They're going to put it
I mean, that would be an expensive piece. I don't know what the RFP
We have a motion to increase the proposed budget from $50,000 to $65,000. Any more discussion on that item? All in favor?
Whoa.
I got 8. Opposed?
That there were 10.
Yeah, I thought I had 10.
Yeah, okay.
How many no's are there?
2 opposed.
That's only 10 votes.
Pardon?
But Dean's up there. Dean, how did you vote, Dean?
Voted in favor.
For free, I can paint a picture of Dietmar in your garage door. Beatrice.
I wish to see money for the art bus, you know, in the future.
Yes.
So that passed, did it?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, finally, I got one through.
So wait a minute. Only 10 people voted, and there are 12 people.
There were 10 ayes. I counted.
Oh, 10.
2 opposed. Yeah, right.
I wanted to ask about Peggy's comment about the 1% for arts program. Is that something that we could put forward to council to discuss?
It's in place.
It is in place?
It is in place, yeah. We just need a project.
Oh, I see.
Okay, I think if nobody has an objection, we'll take a 10-minute break and then come back and pick it up with item number 36.
Thanks, Bob. You're doing great.